Trade deadline 27 hours away. Orioles have made three trades so far, all involving relief arms. We expect there will be at least one more trade to come in the next day or so. Mike Elias on MLB Network talks about the trade deadline.
We're 11 games under 500. It's been a huge disappointment. I mean, I've talked about it the last couple of weeks. None of us wanted to be here, expected to be here. There's a number of reasons for it. And we're taking account of how we got here. But the reality is when we're at that point in the standings and 11 days away from the trade deadline, you know, we've got to be realistic about our situation. And the conversations that I'm having right now are more oriented towards seeing what's out there for some of our available major league players. And, you know, we're not blowing up the team. And we think we're going to be very good again in 2026 and have that intention. And, you know, we're not interested in changing the foundation of the team, but to the degree that we have players that interest other guys or other clubs that are coming towards the end of their contract, we got to listen to that. So that's what we're spending our time on. You know, you talk about everything, you listen to everything, you explore opportunities, but we're trending in that direction right now, and it's not what we want to be doing.
So that was 11 days before the trade deadline. We're now one day before the deadline. Since that conversation, I think he's traded Gregory Soto and Sir Anthony Dominguez. What else do you see coming in the next 27 hours?
I mean, I can't, like, you can't say they've made headway. I mean, those two, there was no chance. I mean, like, there was no chance in hell either one of them was going to be on this roster August 2nd.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Right. I mean, why would they be?
No. But I think you could say the same for a Cedric Mullins. You could say the same for a Charlie Morton. You could say the same for a Ryan O'Hearn.
But relievers are the easiest thing to say.
Sure. And they
those other things still, that takes like real work.
No, I get that.
That takes real acumen. Like you're going to be judged a little differently for that versus two guys who were bad. More like, let's be real. Brian Baker as a Baltimore Oriole was more bad than good. Gregory Soto as a Baltimore Oriole was more bad than good. Sir Anthony Dominguez as a Baltimore Oriole was more bad than good. He didn't start getting good until the team was 18 games below 500.
Yeah.
He sucked early in the year when it mattered. That's the reality. Cedric Mullins has one of the most prolific seasons in Orioles history. O'Hearn was an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, Morton is a starting pitcher who's kind of weird and hard to trade because he's had three seasons in one. Like, the easy stuff is falling off his lap, but, like, he ain't done a real thing yet, and he's running out of time.
I think you're right there. Those trades are easier. I'm a little surprised what he got in those deals. He got a top 10 prospect for Sir Anthony Dominguez. I didn't think that was going to happen.
I mean, dude, it's a kid with a 3.60 ERA.
I hear you. Like, I didn't think they were getting a top 10 organizational prospect for him.
In a bad organization. And you want to know the really damning thing? He's number 8 here.
Yes.
So what does that tell you? Toronto's not on top of the world.
But still, it's a no-brainer to do.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. But not all these are... That's exactly my point. He hasn't done a hard thing yet.
No. But I was still surprised at the return he got.
I mean, those guys are still no-brainers. I get what you're saying. It's different because it's easier for relievers. But it should be a no-brainer that Cedric Mullins and Ryan O'Hearn are dealt.
And by the way, Ryan O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins are
running out of time.
They should be getting teams excited. They're both doing stuff as we head towards the deadline.
Cedric Mullins, he looks like he's going to be on that hot streak.
I mean, there's definitely a part of me that's very worried that they're not going to accomplish close to all that they should. Because again, to me, they haven't gotten a jump on anything.
So you think one of those guys is still here?
I would not be shocked.
Bone, I think they're both gone.
Yeah, that would be serious.
Between Laureano.
Laureano's the wild card.
Mullins and O'Hearn.
Exactly. Laureano's the wild card.
I'm far from convinced he's moving them all.
I would move them all, but I'm with you.
I'd already moved one or two.
Yes, I would too. I think Mullins and O'Hearn are definitely gone. Laureano, I'm less convinced.
I mean, Urias. I don't think he's going to... He'd have been gone already for me. I don't care what I got for him. But, like, I'm not totally convinced he's not here August the 2nd. But like, how many starting pitchers are getting dealt?
Let me ask you a question, though, and I'm not trying to push back, but like Ramon Urias, I would trade him too, but is that a priority for any team to trade for him? Like, that's a guy that I think teams circle back on
Have you looked at these? There's been plenty of minor transactions that have happened.
In the last day or so.
In the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, like there's not been a lot of activity.
I mean, there's people trading for upgrades at catcher. There's people trading for making minor trades to get people they think can catch the ball a little bit better. Like, what do you mean?
Danny Jansen
Austin
was traded
Slater
like a couple
was just traded
yeah,
again.
Today. Like I said, it's like
you're telling me there haven't been transactions in Major League Baseball the last 2 weeks.
I'm saying
that involved people changing teams.
What I'm saying,
we could go through. I can Google it in the next break.
Would you actually like to know what I'm saying? Or
they're
just
not
talk
major
over
trades.
Me?
This wouldn't be a major trade.
I'm saying that they could still circle back and trade Ramon Urias in the last 24 hours. Now, if he's still here, I'm with you. But I'm just like, I don't think Ramon Urias is a priority for anyone. Is all I'm saying. Like Danny Jansen got traded yesterday.
And Mullins and O'Hearn should be the bigger priorities to trade than Ramon because of the return.
I'm just like trying to think now of like teams that have done very minor things because like it's happened. It's been happening. He clings to these guys like he.
Well, there's
like,
no doubt
like,
about that.
Like he thinks if he just waits, like I don't know, something great's gonna happen. Look, but the problem is he's not good with time management up against deadlines.
Look, Ken and I thought multiple moves are gonna be made over the weekend.
I told you nothing's gonna happen.
I thought two. Ken thought three.
By the way, I feel uncomfortable because I feel like it sounds like I'm defending him when I say these things, and I don't want to. Like that's not
the
where
I am. The easiest thing to do is flip some relief pitchers who have no control. And then we know why the one with control got done, because he wanted a draft pick and he had to get it done before the draft.
Well, and Tampa called him.
I mean, again, like trading, figuring out Cedric Mullins' value and not looking like a fool at the end because other outfielders are traded and you're like, well, why couldn't they get for Mullins? Like that takes a little more know-how. Like figuring out O'Hearn, who he went from a 1,000 OPS the first 6 weeks of the season to a sub 700 since the Memorial Day. How's he going to navigate that wicket? Oh, and he kept playing him at first base and he kept peeing down his leg. Like, I don't know. That strikes me as a little more difficult. Morton strikes me as a lot more difficult. Eflin, in part because he's always hurt, a lot more difficult. Do I think he's going to thread all those needles in real time? Hell no. Not with a three-person staff. Not with him not wanting to delegate. Not with them being among the most insular, naive front offices in baseball. No. No. I'm going to fade them until they prove otherwise. I think they're frauds. At the major league level, they're frauds.
We'll see. I still think
We could go back to a year ago and Eloy Jimenez and Austin Slater. We can do it.
That was fun.
We can go through the whole thing. But they're frauds until proven otherwise.
They got Austin Slater like 5 minutes before the deadline last year and Eloy Jimenez. Remember all that flurry of activity of quantity instead of quality?
The year before the general soreness year, that was we were off air basically. The show was basically over.
By the way, I'm a little bothered that people have misappropriated Jason's nickname for Tyler O'Neill. Like that was Jack Flaherty. And now I see all these memes now with Tyler O'Neill, General Soreness. Like General Soreness, there's only one general.
You know what I would love to see? Like, you know when you were kids and you collected baseball cards and it'd be like Cal and Eddie, or you know what I mean? Like the two and one, or it'd be like, you know, Tigers up the middle. Yeah. And it would be like Whitaker and Trammell, you know, and they'd both be on the same card. Or like ALE shortstop, or you know, back then ALE shortstops, and it's like, you know, Robin Yount and Cal Ripken and Trammell on the four and a card. I just want one like Orioles General Soreness, and it's Flaherty and O'Neill. Yeah. I would love to have that card and then go out and get them both to autograph it.
The Generals.
Wait, you think like, they would?
The Generals.
I don't know.
Orioles Generals, like 2023 and 2025, and it's Flaherty and O'Neill.
I don't think Jack Flaherty.
And Flaherty is holding his back, and O'Neill's holding he's wearing one of those rubber brace thing. Like when you got in a car accident back in the day and they put like the rubber thing around your neck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the white foam thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And O'Neill's wearing one of those because he slept bad the night before. The Generals.
Well, we have 27 hours until the deadline. Orioles and Blue Jays, this game is wacky.
This game is wacky.
We're going to update you on what the heck is happening this afternoon at Camden Yards. That's next here on The Fan. We got a wild one at Camden Yards. It's the seventh inning. the Blue Jays currently lead the Orioles 9-8, but the Orioles have the bases loaded and one out in the eighth inning. They've already scored three in this inning. So Cedric Mullins is up, and Cedric Mullins has had a heck of a game with the glove. He's got two hits with the bat. Jordan Westbrook, two more hits, including a homer in this one. Jordan Westbrook's on fire in July. Jackson Holliday, a couple hits. Adley Rutschman has driven in a couple runs in this one. It's been a wild, wacky game. The Orioles have nobody who can pitch, though.
Well, I mean, look, we talked about it a little bit on the show late last week and a little bit the other day. This bullpen is obviously going to be in major transition.
Yes.
And Corbin Martin worked himself into quite a jam last night and then got swing and miss to get out of it and got swing and miss against a guy who hasn't been swinging and missing a whole lot lately in Pichette. At least he hadn't up until that point. Now he seems to be doing quite a bit.
You swing at a ball over your head.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Like, he's, I guess, their closer for the foreseeable future. Cano is obviously really struggling. They're going to be stuck with him, but he might be headed back down to the minors for other people to get opportunities. Like, they're going to really lean into Cade Stroud. I mean, look, how about Brandon Young?
Yeah, he gave him six innings. I was shocked. Because remember, early on, he did not look good.
No.
Yeah.
So he's been okay two out of the last four. Like, you've got to just roll with that. I'd still rather watch that than watch Sagano or watch Eflin nibble and try to stay off the IL or what we've been doing. Like, and I mentioned Brandon Young in connection to the bullpen because I think next year if they have a real rotation, he'd be in the bullpen.
Yes.
Now, I don't know that they're going to have a real rotation because I don't know if they're going to have a real GM. But, like, those are the kind of things that I'm going to be keeping, you know, my closest eye on from here on out. One or two of these kids might be more interesting than we thought, might have a role on the team next year. We'll see. You know, they seem to like the Wolfman. They seem, you know, they really want this Stroud thing to work. Like Corbin Martin, maybe all the injuries are behind him now. And he's become what they thought he might have been in Houston 8 years ago. Like, we'll see.
Well, bullpen especially is going to be the land of opportunity. You already traded away three guys. We'll see if Kittredge or someone else gets dealt. But can one of those guys prove that they can stick? And starting pitching, you hope that they can trade at least one or two of those guys. Maybe Slim when he gets back. How is he going to handle this run? Pitching in general and Mike Elias or whoever, they have a lot to do in terms of pitching acquisitions this offseason. You're going to have to completely revamp the bullpen, and you're going to have to get multiple starting pitchers.
Well, to your point, Bone, like, can one of these guys stick? Well, baseball history has shown us, like, hey, who was Brian Baker, for God's sakes? Like,
sure.
One of these guys could stick. It's a matter of will they stick. But you're absolutely right. This is going to be the land of opportunity because we're seeing it the last couple of days. And by the way, Yennier Cano stinks. Like, he's the only guy left. He gave up five earned in two-thirds of an inning today. Like, he can't find the plate. When he does, he gets crushed.
So let's go. Let's transition to the starting pitching of it all. Do you two think there's a realistic chance that by 6 o'clock tomorrow, he has acquired someone for this year and next year, and maybe the year after that starting rotation?
I don't see it. Like, who are they giving up to get that guy?
That's my question. Have plenty to
give up. I'm saying, who is he giving up to get?
He just drafted seven of the top 90 kids in the draft. He's got plenty to give up.
But he could, my point is,
Everybody said the Royals had no farm system. They went and got Urcig, who people would say was a top three reliever available at the deadline last year. You can always make it happen.
You're not hearing me, though. He doesn't do these things, is what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, don't say he can't.
No, he doesn't.
I don't want that to be inferred that, like, he doesn't have enough, or you've always got enough.
Please don't misinterpret. I don't see him giving up something that he covets.
So when's he going to do it? If he's still, then he's going to sign him? Because he never agrees with the value that other teams give pitchers. He's telling this billionaire, that was a stupid contract. That was a bad contract. All they won was the press conference. They're not going to win any games with that guy. Oh. They're not going to win in October with that guy.
That was a ball outside.
Like I'm starting to think, because I've read this in more and more places and showing up on different people's Twitter feed. Like, clearly he wants it out there that he's trying to do it. And there is a part of me that thinks he may do it because that might be one of the only ways he can keep his job.
Well, if he did it, that would at least show that it would be something different, that he's at least changing at this point. Because for him to go out and make an impact trade at the trade deadline, during a deadline in which you're a seller, but it's a future thinking move, like, it wouldn't make much sense, because the past couple of deadlines when you were a buyer, you didn't take advantage of that opportunity. So why am I supposed to believe now when you're a seller, he's going to make that type of move?
Can I quickly update you on what's going on in the Oriole game? So the Orioles had the bases loaded, one out, down 9-8. They had scored three runs in the seventh inning. Cedric Mullins struck out. Ramon Laureano then pinch hit for Daniel Carlson. He worked the count to 3-2. One of the balls during that count was a touch outside. The ball that they called strike three was another ball outside than the one he got a ball on early in the count, but they rung him up on it. So instead of a tie game, he strikes out looking, and it's 9-8 heading to the 8th.
If this was...
The All-Star game.
If this was Nafuk against whatever, I'm trying to think of Toronto's AAA team.
What's Paul Tuckett now? The Woosox. The Woosox.
But if this was the International League... This game, a run would have scored and the Orioles would still be up.
Yep.
Well, what game was it? They played so many the past couple of days with the doubleheader. Monday, when there was the ball, the pitch that was basically middle, and it was called a ball.
A ball, yeah.
And Adley's even looking back like, what, dude? I think it was Adley. Yeah. Right now?
Yeah. It's
like,
embarrassing.
What? Oh, no. Yeah, that was.
The technology exists. It has existed. It's worked incredibly at the AAA level, and then they let the genie out of the bottle and let the people who hadn't been, let mainstreamers, see it for themselves in the All-Star game, and it's like, and now you're going to reel it back, and we're playing the most important games of the year, and we got to watch garbage like this.
It's frustrating.
It's ridiculous.
It is incredibly frustrating.
But it's MLB.
Hey, can I
go Bryce Harper?
Can I mention Cedric Mullins now 9-for-20 on this homestand with that strikeout? He's on fire, and he's made like three incredible catches
on
the homestand.
He literally climbed the wall, like scaled the wall to bring one back.
I do want to mention. I think Jordan Westberg listens to this show, because a few weeks ago you killed him about his plate and discipline and what he does.
Go back a calendar year and he had a 280 on base.
He's got a coming into today. His OPS this month was 898. He's 2-for-4 with another home run today. He has been on fire this month.
I mean, he needs to play regularly. He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to work counts. If he works counts, the power and all that stuff is going to be even more of a weapon for him. But yeah, he's got to get on base more than 28% of the time.
Well, he's got, in his last three games, he's now got 9 hits.
That's good, Bob.
That's good, Bob. Really good.
And look, he is a part of the core.
Yes.
I just think the core is like,
I've got a
two
core
guys, and like Jackson will get there, but I'm not saying he's there now, but I have no doubt that he will be there. The problem is does he really start to peak 2 years from now, and Gunner's already gone? So is that a core? I mean, you tell me.
Right now I got a core of three, and it's Gunner, Jackson, and Westberg. Yeah. Then there's a bunch of other dudes. I would say I'm more optimistic than Jason is, but that's still a core three ain't winning you a whole lot.
No.
And they're not, they've won a whole lot lately, winning 5 in a row, but they had themselves a 5-3 lead. If you're just tuning in, Yennier Cano gave up 5 earned in 2/3 of an inning, so they went from being up 5-3 to being down 9-5. They scored 3 in the 7th, down 9-8, had the bases loaded, 1 out, did not score again. 9-8 heading to the 8th, or the Blue Jays bat, and we'll see if the Orioles pitchers, because remember, they've traded through relievers in the last couple weeks, if this skeleton crew of bullpen arms can get Blue Jays hitters out and keep it at 9-8.
Yeah, and obviously they're off tomorrow. And next time they play baseball again, they will have had plenty of time to reshuffle the deck on their roster, because the deadline will have been passed.
Ton of guys in Chesapeake.
Yeah. Waiting. Reinforcements.
waiting.
By the way, 4A team, half a 4A team in Chesapeake.
Did you say that there's only three games tomorrow in baseball?
Yes. Seems weird, but
it does.
Trade deadline day Thursday, there are just three ball games.
That's incredible. Trade deadline is at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
I'll be on two of them.
Two of those three games?
It's looking that way.
What's our guy G Unit gonna do? Three games.
That's a 5 second podcast.
Maybe he'll do some. He might dabble with some Mexican league. Maybe a little KBO. I should ask him. Yeah, that's gonna be.
He does every game, right?
He does every game,
but three. I mean, it's child's play.
Yeah, he could do an hour on each game.
Coming up next, let's get to the Ravens. They're back out on the practice field. By the way, Cordell Woodland has clarified for us that three padded practices in a row is allowed. That's the max. So the Ravens are allowed to do three padded practices in a row as they are on the field in pads today. He'll join us at 5:30. But coming up next, you want to hear from Adafe Owe and Mike Green? They spoke yesterday. They join us next here on The Fan.
It's been well so far. You know, there's always going to be room for improvement. But I think the last few days, it's been fun. It's been exciting, of course. And, I mean, we're all blessed to be out here and be able to practice another day. So, yeah, it's been great so far.
That's second-round pick Mike Green talking about this ramp-up in pads on the field this week, and they are in pads today as well. Cordell Woodland's going to join us at 5:30 to get his thoughts on what he saw out at training camp. But Mike Green, and I'm a cynical person, but, man, he's been impressive on the field, and he's impressive when he talks. It's a lot. On the football field, a lot of positives from Mike Green so far.
Yeah, I am sure they have a plan for him. And, you know, it probably has different tiers. And there's a baseline and there's a, hey, if he's, you know, even further ahead than we thought. And then there's some long-term things where, okay, and then if we're off to a quality start, where can we get him to by January? I don't think he's going to suffer athletically at all. I think this is the land of opportunity for him. We've got guys who, frankly, are on their last legs in terms of their career, right? Like a Van Noy, who's not going to do much of anything this time of year.
Yep.
You've got guys like Ajabo, who might be on borrowed time here. Say what you want about Oway. I'm old enough to remember Oway riding a lot of pine, watching Tavius Robinson play a whole lot of football with the season on the line. So there's that. And we thought pass rush is as big of a need as any on this team. And you tell me how they Van Noy's still here and they sweetened the pot of his contract a smidge. Gave him some per-game roster bonuses, but like that is what it is. There's never going to be a contract extension for Owe. What have they done?
Mike Green.
There you go. He's going to have an opportunity to show what he can do.
I'm interested in seeing how they'll deploy him at least early on. Because for some guys coming from the college level to the NFL and they're pass rushers, but they can't set the edge. Well, that's not the case with Mike Green, where this is someone that can play the run. So are they going to have him just see ball, get ball, you know, get the quarterback, or can you kind of have him in on early downs as well?
I mean, I think they've got, they had no problem stopping the run last year.
No, I
didn't. Like, they've always had, Owe, Robinson, Van Noy, you got Roquan free to run around. I'm not so worried about that.
But my point is, it's not a situation where if you did have Mike Green in on early downs where you're worrying about, oh, man, we aren't going to be able to set the edge, where I think that gives him more opportunity early on.
Yeah, see, I want him tuned up, and I do want him to go see ball, get ball. Like, I want him to be unencumbered. Like, I want him to have some of the freedoms that a Micah Parsons had when he burst on the scene. And I'm not saying that that's who this kid will be by any stretch of the imagination, but I think they've built that defense up in so many other ways that allowing him to take whatever it is, 35 snaps like a sprint, rather than worry about playing those extra 20 to 30 run snaps that take a lot out of you. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't need that, man. Like, the dudes who have the huge thighs and the big asses, let them do that.
Nice.
Like, what they don't have is a Mike Green.
Yeah.
They don't have a 21-year-old tuned up potential disruptor off the edge, right? They thought that was going to be a Ajabo. It's never happened. We know what OA is at this point. A tuned-up pass rusher, is he is not. You can talk. We can talk about sack totals. I watch these football games. Like, I don't really give a damn. Like, it's great that he can set the edge. I don't really need or want to see a whole lot of that.
By the way, I think I said this to you off the air yesterday, but Mike Green and you, like with guys like Van Noy and Owe and those guys in bubble wrap, Mike Green's going to destroy some security guards in fourth quarters of these preseason football games. Like, there's going to be guys playing the tackle positions that have no chance to make it in the NFL, and Mike Green is going to destroy these guys in these preseason games.
Great. I hope so. Build up his confidence. Yeah, I mean, he does some things, at least he did things at the college level. Okay, like Ajabo did before the injury.
Mm-hmm. He's also showing it now. It's practice, but once the pads have come on, he's showing it on the field at practice as well.
And like, I really wouldn't care if he's not a good practice player. Like, dudes who get to the quarterback, I don't really care what else they do.
Yeah.
But get to the quarterback. You've built the Super Bowl roster. He's not a great fit in this package, that package on early downs. I don't care. But he needs to be on the field when you're getting after the quarterback. And hopefully he's relatively unencumbered to do so.
More from Mike Green speaking yesterday. Talks about trying to showcase the physical part of his game.
Throughout the whole pre-draft process, I was kind of trying to prove that I can do like power rushes, and I'm more of a power guy as well on top of my, you know, speed game. So I think finally coming out here, being able to put on the pads, I've been able to at least show what I'm capable of doing, you know, when it comes down to like power rushing and setting the edge and things like that. So it's been, like I said, it's been good. It's always going to be room for improvement, but it's been good so far.
Total package.
Colts just gave their tackle $100 million.
Yeah, guy,
right?
I really never heard of.
That'll be good next week.
Yeah.
No, it'll be exciting to see joint practices with them and the Commanders. And that's huge. And obviously, John Harbaugh loves that. But especially for those young guys, for those rookies to see how they stack up.
More from Mike Green speaking yesterday. Does he think, when he was at Marshall, he was the focus of every offense's game plan to stop. Now there's other guys on this defense that teams have to pay attention to. Does he think that will help him?
You got to think about when you got these talented defensive ends and outside linebackers and defensive tackles on the front line. You can't just game plan for all four or five of the defensive linemen. You got to pick out certain ones that you can game plan against, and that opens up opportunities for other guys. And I feel like you can kind of get an advantage, like a guy like me that teams don't really know about yet. So I think it should be really interesting to see. Yeah.
He thinks that being on a team where he's not the focus could help him.
I wonder for how long that is.
Yeah, that could change pretty quick. Life comes at you fast.
Yeah.
And dude got two guys double-digit sacks that they're coming off of. It's a situation.
You got Matt Beeks.
You're bringing in Mike Green, who wasn't a first-round pick, and we know why he ended up falling. You're not bringing in Mike Green to be the savior. Right,
Kyle Van Noy got sacks. Kyle Van Noy's not here because he's an elite pass rusher.
Sure.
He's here because he's he's here because he was late-stage career Judon. Like Swiss Army knife. Not as athletic as he was as early in his career, but super smart and will take advantage of situations that are presented to him, but is not going to be beating double teams, is not going to be getting, you know, like chipped with regularity. Like,
I think the super smart part's the key, though, because he's become a better pass rusher. He's gotten older in part because he's using his brain to get sacks.
I'm with you. I'm sure. Saying they didn't bring...
But that's using his brain, not his body.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I'm with you, but I'm saying like...
This kid should be a dervish coming off the edge.
Yes.
They didn't bring him in to save this team. He's not a first-round pick that's going to be playing every single snap like Malachi Starks, where he's got to be a thing.
I hope he's not. I hope his snaps... Again, I hope they're smart about the snap count.
Yeah.
Before we step out, Breaking Woods, this is from our own Cordell Woodland. John Harbaugh, meeting with the media, said that likely will have surgery, and the timeline that's been reported looks accurate.
I mean, so it was pretty nebulous timeline. Yeah. Maybe he's ready for the start of the season, and maybe he's not. Yeah, I don't.
Six-ish week timeline.
I don't blame Harbs for sticking with that. The non-existent timeline. Yeah, that works for us.
Well,
yeah.
I think he's referring to the it's possible he can come back for the first game.
Pretty nebulous timeline.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Hey. I think we're on the same page, Jason. If he's back for week four, we're good with that, right?
I'm good with that.
That's a win for the Ravens because guys get hurt.
Let's get him practicing by around week two. Let him practice for a week, not play. Practice for a week, face the Chiefs.
Coming up next. Ooh, it's a good one. It's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Gosh, how many times have we said on or off air where, man, watching the Orioles is a hate watch? Well, that hasn't been the case this week. It's been fun. And last night's game, I thought, was a lot of fun. It was almost like a 2022 vibe.
Yes.
Can this team continue to carry that? And also, they finished their 108th game of the season, cutting it in half. What do their numbers look like? We'll tell you next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
It has been so refreshing watching Orioles baseball this week, and they're trailing the Blue Jays 9-8. They have one out in the bottom of the ninth inning, but even if this score holds, they've scored 61 runs in six games.
Juggernaut.
That's cray-cray.
61 runs in six games. And Jason, you gave out that number. They scored, 66 runs in their first 16 games? 19 games.
This month.
Yep. So the offense has gone on an absolute explosion this week. And the defensive plays by Cedric Mullins have been really fun. But last night in particular, I thought was a really gritty win by the Orioles. And they had just traded Sir Anthony Dominguez. Brandon Young's on the bump, and he had only completed five innings once prior to last night. He ended up going six, throwing 86 pitches, more than the 70 to 75 range, and he looked shaky early on. And then Corbin Martin, of all people, closed out that game. Now, it wasn't the smoothest by any means.
That's an understatement.
It was a little bit of an experience, but this was a guy that was DFA'd 2 weeks prior, and he was there closing out that game. He only had four saves in his minor league career, spanning seven minor league seasons. So that type of vibe, where it kind of reminded me of 2022 last night, and it was their 108th game last season, and you split it up. First 54 games, they were 19-35. That was the third worst record in baseball. 20th in OPS, 24th in on base, 24th in runs. Last 54 games, 31-23, which was the fourth best record in baseball. They're fourth in runs. Now, a lot of it was the damage that they've done in these last few games, but fourth in runs, fifth in OPS, and hey, a little bit better than league average and on base, Jason, at 14th in on base percentage, where that's a lot. And we kind of outlined some things in terms of the bullpen. Hey, this is the land of opportunity. Starting pitching wise, you expect one or two of those guys, and who can step up there. But also offensively, because that's what was billed heading into this year, where now everyone's healthy. Adley's back. The whole core, air quotes, are playing games right now, and hopefully they're able to stay healthy the remaining 2 months of the season. But this is the type of brand of baseball that you want to see the rest of the way. The scrappiness, the ability to come from behind. The late game situation where Gunnar Henderson doubles off the scoreboard.
Hit that ball 114 miles an hour.
It was like destroyed the scoreboard.
It was the hardest exit velocity of Gunnar Henderson's career, that hit right there. And then Adley Rutschman able to drive him in for the go-ahead run, and they were able to close the door. I just want to see that type of scrappy brand of baseball that they really illustrated 3 years ago when they didn't make the playoffs, and the Orioles are not making the playoffs this year. But you want to head into the offseason with some momentum.
They've got to rebrand themselves. They've got to redefine themselves, and they've got to establish a modicum of professionalism. And their approach to the game and their approach to their at-bats, their approach to fielding their position, their approach to high IQ baseball, their approach to running the bases. Like, they've got to collectively play the game with more brain power and more refined instinct than they did for the better part of the first 100 games. If they do that, then they may set themselves up for better things in 2026. I still think there's going to be a whole lot of work to be done on the front office side of things, no matter who's in charge. But yeah, they need to start playing a higher caliber of baseball, period.
Orioles lose 9-8. They go down meekly in the eighth and the ninth innings against Sir Anthony Dominguez and Jeff Hoffman. But they did take 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays. So that did, and as Bone said, even in defeat today, they scrapped back, had an opportunity, had the bases loaded, one out, down only one run, and Ramon Laureano took what looked like to be ball four, and it was called strike three. Otherwise, it's a tie game.
That was a hell of a series. And look, that's the last time you're going to see a bunch of guys in Orioles uniforms. Yep. We'll see if it's as many as it should be. But for Cedric Mullins to have had this sort of a homestand,
unbelievable.
You know, like, Laureano continues to play at a high level.
O'Hearn
got some power going again, which had been lacking for a while. Charlie Morton, that final outing and gutting it out without his best stuff. Yeah, I mean, now we'll see what that all turns into in the next 24 hours.
We'll talk Orioles with Ryan Ripken coming up at 4:30. Cordell Woodland's out at one winning drive as the Ravens have wrapped up practice today. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw coming up at 5:30. But next, Lamar Jackson sat in with NFL Network as they were out at practice the other day. He thinks this is the best team he's had with the Ravens. Do we agree? We'll tell you next here on The Fan.